Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit and earned a master's degree in social work from the University of Michigan. Since 1975, she's been a licensed clinical social worker specializing in family therapy. She is the principal of solution-oriented consulting, and her goal is to create a calm and creative problem-solving process for each family that she serves. Her name, Carolyn Beauvais, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Carolyn Beauvais, who's the principal of solution-oriented consulting and a person that I think the world of and has helped me an awful lot starting in the early 90s. Carolyn, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Welcome to you too, Jack. It's always a wonderful joy to be able to speak to you again. And I love your program. I listen to it regularly.
Thank you. Let's start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please.
Well, I grew up with a very conventional childhood. I had both a mom and a dad. My dad died when I was in my 20s before I got married. Then as we moved along the timeline, I married my high school sweetheart and we have four children together. And I am blessed now to be a grandmother with five grandchildren.
What's the biggest thing you learned from your mom and what's the biggest thing you learned from dad?
What I learned from my father is that it is important to laugh and to laugh out loud and to laugh often. He was a wonderfully funny guy. And although I do not have his timing when I tell a joke, sadly, I'm very good at laughing.
So, and your mom?
My mom was a Renaissance woman. She grew up in the Depression, and as did my dad, of course, and she was a war bride. They knew each other before the war, but they married and soon after had all of us kids. And growing up in the Depression, she understood that you had to always be creative and make changes and adapt and to do it with cheerfulness and a matter of factness. So I take that with me. My mom and dad are both gone, of course, but these are wonderful gifts that they have left with each of us.
Well, your mom's gift sure can be used today. So, okay, how was it you decided to get into social work?
Well, I started out in law school and I didn't care for law school. So social work seemed like a natural segue because I was very concerned about social justice.
What do all great social workers have in common?
What we have in common is empathy and compassion.
And I've always, one of the many things I've admired you for is you are a fantastic listener. Talk to us about the skill of listening.
The act of listening is a very engaged activity. When you are listening, you are actively, you are thinking about what the other person is trying to communicate. And when you don't understand, you have to make sure that rather than making assumptions, you ask what they actually want you to understand. And I think that's one of the most important skills in active listening is making sure you've understood what the person wants you to understand, not what you think you understand.
Carolyn, in the last 5 or 6 weeks, we're all playing a game that no one alive has ever played before with the coronavirus. What if you give us a statement, an opening message regarding this crisis?
Well, regarding this crisis, I'm not sure it hasn't happened before, because people do reference the Spanish flu and how terrifying that was at that time. And I guess this is what we're dealing with right now, is the extreme confusion about the unknown, how long this is going to last, how are our lives going to resume, in what ways are we going to have to fashion and design a new normal in our nuclear families, in our communities, in our state, in the country, and in the world at large. It's a huge, huge undertaking, both socially and culturally. I do think, as a global people and as a community people, we are ready for this task. And I think we have faith leaders and political leaders and health leaders who are going to help us. It cannot be done alone. It must be done together.
We're talking to Carolyn Bovee, and I'm Jack Krasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula, and we're with Carolyn Bovee. How has your job changed in the last 2 months?
Almost every, I'm not in my office, of course, but every phone call that I take now is about anxiety. It is, everybody is terribly anxious about how to do this.
What is anxiety?
Anxiety is a version of fear, and fear is built into all of us mammals, and human beings are mammals. We all have that capacity to do either fight, flight, or freeze. What happens with anxiety is primarily freeze. People feel frozen about, I don't know what to do. And I was going to tell you that the late Bishop Fulton J. Sheen had a wonderful adage that he gave to us, and I think it's so timely right now, because he said each of us makes his or her own weather. Each one of us determines the colors of the skies in the emotional universe which he or she inhabits. And that's when you're frozen, you're stuck inside your emotional weather. And the job as of each individual, and for adults to help children with this, is to unfreeze and get out of that stuck spot. So there's a lot of areas of anxiety for families. They have anxiety about food, not just getting food, but preparing food and making sure that it's healthy and nourishing. The economic situation, of course, is very, very frightening to everybody. Even though there's this enormous stimulus package, everybody I've spoken to has not received any checks. And I deal with family businesses and succession planning and family businesses. And those small business loans are really confusing for everybody still. So nobody feels safe yet. And so the anxiety and that emotional weather of the anxiety is still creating that sense of frozenness. Most people are worried about this concept of isolating just with your group, with your family group, or in some cases, all by yourself. We are social animals, and while it is good to be with our families, we do need to interface with others, which is why social media and the technology we have available to us, which certainly is different than when the Spanish flu was here, is so relevant. So the big questions, you know, in terms of underneath all the technical questions of food and isolation is, what if this happens to me or my family? And that bumps us into the scariest questions of all, which is, what if I die? What's going to happen to my family? And so these kinds of thoughts create tremendous frozenness. Nobody wants to think about these thoughts, which is why it's so important that you learn how to create a bluer sky inside your own thought process. So I want you right now, Jack, to do a little exercise with me. I know that people cannot see us, but I want you to close your eyes. I want you to breathe in through your nose, and I want you to exhale through your mouth. Keeping your eyes closed, I want you to think of something that makes you feel good or happy when you imagine that place. And then I want you to breathe in and breathe out one more time. That is a way we can change the emotional sky in our internal landscape. Now, you can't stay in that state of closed eyes and just breathing, because especially if you have kids, you're busy and active and having to take care of things. But anytime you feel that frozenness, this is an action that people can take. Tolerating uncertainty in this time of COVID-19, which is also known as SARS-2, requires what I call the three S's. It requires strength. So you have to think of times when you were scared, but you managed it anyway. And maybe you were a small child and you were afraid of public speaking, or maybe you were an adult and you were afraid of learning a new activity. Many older adults are afraid of technology and it's scary for them. There's moments in everybody's life where they have felt scared, and those moments have also been successfully overcome. So that's extremely important. The second S is mental stamina. So again, think of a time when you thought, I'm too tired, I can't do this. But actually, you did. You finished it, you did do it, you made it happen. And that, again, when you can think of that and change that emotional frozenness into a sunnier sky inside your own mental processes, this is extremely important. So the last S, and all of these are important, but this one I feel is probably the most important, is emotional stability. Every faith requires its believers to live with love and kindness to others. So we talk about that there are a lot of rules to follow. There are the CDC rules right now, staying at home. There are laws that every county and state and country has. There are general rules, family, about language, you know, don't use swear words, etc. But really, from my perspective, in the big picture, there really are only two rules. This first rule is something that most people have heard in a variety of different ways, and that is allow no harm to come to self or others. And you notice it's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have done to yourself. Self has to come first. It's just like when you're on the airplane and the oxygen masks come down. You put it on you first, and then you can assist others. So managing self-regulation, emotional stability, is probably the best thing we can do. And that takes us right back to managing our emotional weather. The second rule is, if you can, leave the world a better place. So while we are making these adaptations, everybody has noticed that the global climate has improved. Now, I don't know how long this is going to stay true, but it's an amazing and wonderful thing to know that it can be done, because everybody has had questions about, is it too late? Have we done too much damage? But that clearly is not the case. We can see that there's a difference. So what I would like your listeners to do right now, if they can, is to have a piece of paper and a pencil right by their side. And I would ask them to write down these six concepts, because these all encourage emotional stability, which again takes us back to creating sunny skies within our own mental processes. So the first concept is this: I am not in charge of circumstances, but I am in charge of my life in the context of those circumstances. So we can't control whether it's rainy or sunny outside. We can't control how fast or how slow this global pandemic is going to be cleaned up and cleared up, and where we all feel safe to be with one another in a community again. What we can affect is how we're going to manage ourselves and the things we can be in charge of on our own and in our own way. The second concept is I am totally responsible for my thoughts and my actions. So when your thoughts are taking you to a place of frozenness, it's your job to get out of that frozen spot and then to take action. You can't take action, though, unless you're aware of your limitations. Everybody has limitations. These are neither good nor bad. It's how your brain is wired, usually, and you must find a way to acknowledge and accept those limitations and then work around them. So the fourth concept is I am willing to set goals, even if the goal is tiny, even if the goal is I'm going to get up out of this chair and I'm going to walk around the house for 5 minutes just to keep moving, just to change my point of view, just to change the scenery, and hopefully change the scenery internally as well as externally. The fifth concept is I am dedicated to achieving those goals. That gets us back to stamina. Goals often require stamina, keeping at something until you've accomplished it, even when you're fatigued, even when you're tired. And I know the parents who are, you know, trying to do homeschooling and keeping their kids active and getting them fresh air, I'm sure they're exhausted. Same with the our first responders who are having long, long hours and difficult shifts and seeing people that they care about not make it. That creates emotional fatigue, and emotional stamina is required to overcome that emotional fatigue. And the sixth one, and this is really the most important, is I can be grateful. Even though all these terrible things are going on, and they always do in the world. This isn't just this moment. Terrible things often go on in this world. There are natural disasters that happen and create havoc in that area where the natural disaster is. I know we've had many tornadoes, and we are in tornado season, but you can still be joyful within the context of what you are able to do. So hopefully people have had a chance to jot those down. And in crisis theory, when we have a natural disaster, crisis theory tells us that in about 6 weeks, people have learned adaptations to the crisis. So we are well into the 6 week mark, and most people have made the adaptations that they need to. And unknowingly, they are probably following these six concepts for emotional stamina. But at 6 weeks, what crisis theory tells us is that we have two groups of people, basically. One group goes back to the way they always did things, and they just revert. In the best way that they can. There's another second group, though, that's much more lively, in the sense that in the learning to make these adaptations, they begin to creatively think about how they could continue to do things differently even after this crisis resolves, however long that may take. And that second group of people are our visionaries. Those are the people who are going to help us understand and develop the new norms that we are all going to have to abide by and take in. And it won't be static. The new norms will continue to change as we make those new adaptations as well. But that second group, which I hope all your listeners will be in, those are the visionaries. Those are the people who take us to a safer place, because we don't revert back to the old ways, which probably are not going to be suitable or workable in this new time that we are going to be having.
We're talking to Carolyn Beauvais. When we come back, we're going to ask her some specific issues today that families are probably having. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Carolyn Beauvais. If you want to learn more, Carolyn, C-A-R-O-L-Y-N dot Beauvais, B-E-A-U-V-A-I-S at gmail.com. Carolyn, a wife says, I married him for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, but not for lunch. The guy is driving me nuts.
I have actually heard that almost word for word. You know, two things are going on there. A lot of times in the household, preparing three meals a day for whoever is the food preparer is very demanding in terms of creativity, especially if you're a household that doesn't have a lot of options food-wise in terms of ordering delivery or that kind of thing. But the other part is that that takes us right back to emotional weather. I would have to talk to that person to let them know that although they are being driven crazy, they have to find one of two things to do. They either have to laugh at themselves or they have to find a way to close their eyes, breathe in, breathe out through their mouth, and imagine a thing that they've done with this particular person that's driving them crazy that has made them happy. We have to reference our entire experience, not just what's in the moment, because these things that are right in the moment fall under the category of this too shall pass. So it's very important to reference the entirety of your experience.
Talk to us about both parents working from home and kids being at home at the same time.
Most of the families that I've been speaking with, because in family businesses, which I spend a lot of time working with, the members of the family are being put to work in various ways and are often on site with the family. So for a lot of the families I see, this is not uncommon already. But almost always there has to be a tag team agreement between the adults. The children, especially the younger they are, the more attention they actually need. You can't just leave them to their own devices. They do need supervision. So that couple needs to develop a tag team. I find that the workplaces that where people are working remotely and bosses know that the children are at home, they've been extremely considerate of circumstances. So hopefully both employees and employers are understanding that being kind to one another and being accepting of the limitations that are part of our life right now are happening on both sides. It does mean, though, from my experience, that work hours aren't just really 9 to 5. They're sometimes trying to finish projects at times when the kids are already in bed. Or maybe one parent is giving dinner and the other one is in the office trying to something. So that tag team concept is very, very critical.
A lot of people are having money issues right now. Talk to us about how they handle that.
Money issues right now are one of the biggest stressors in terms of impacting emotional stamina and emotional stability, both. That question of what are we going to do, what's going to happen, you know, people who have are in retirement and are looking at their portfolios for their retirement savings are very frightened. Couples who have young children and are thinking about planning for college and had set up funds for those children, they are very frightened about what's going to happen. People who are in the gig economy, let's say, and are living from check to check, there are no checks right now. So it is very scary. The important thing is not to get frozen with anxiety. It needs to be, I don't know how many of your readers are familiar with the book called The Little Engine That Could, but there's a phrase in there where the little tiny engine is pulling a giant train, and he doesn't know if he has the steam power to do it, but he chugs up those mountains and he keeps saying, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And each one of us, when we're struggling with this scary, scary thought of what are we going to do when there's nothing in the cupboard, we have to go back to, I think I can, I think I can. And then as part of that, I think I can, what do I have to do right now that will bring me some moment of joy? And if not joy, at least relief from that thought. You cannot keep thinking the same thought. You must change the weather.
Talk to us about how we manage watching TV, videos, and the internet.
This is something that, as a therapist working with various age groups, I've had to have conversations about long before this pandemic set in, because screen time is an issue. It's especially an issue for adolescents, but it's an issue for adults too. The norm that we ask people to do is to try and spend only 2 hours a day on screen time. Now, this is not reasonable at this moment in time, but the smaller amount of minutes that you're spending on screen time is better. If you're going to be using screen time, I recommend that you do one of two things. You find screen time that makes you laugh. So it's comedy or it's entertainment that's lighthearted. Or you do something that's educational, like a TED Talk, or there are lots of sites now where you can go on and learn about things, activities, for instance, that you could do with your kids, either inside or outside, that are kind of fun. In fact, there is one. Steve Hamilton has a show on television. And his class is called Kindness 101. And he suggests this project, which I think is great for kids, but I think it's pretty good for all of us adults too. And he says, this is a project to look for hope. And you take 10 pennies in your left pocket, or they can be little pebbles, doesn't have to be money, every time as you go through the day and you find something that you are grateful for. And it can be something small, like, I am grateful that I do not have to worry about shelter. I am not homeless. Or it can be something huge, like I am grateful I don't have COVID-19 virus. So every time you smile or you have a thought where you're grateful or you laugh, either to yourself or even better, out loud, you put one penny back into your right pocket. And the goal is, at the end of the day, to have all those pennies or pebbles that are in your left pocket into your right pocket. And if you run out of pennies in your left pocket and you need to put some more in, do it. It's a very fun activity. It does make me laugh, actually, when I've had people tell me about doing this experiment that is from Steve Hartman's 101 class on kindness.
We're talking to Carolyn Beauvais. If you want to learn more, Carolyn, Carolyn, Beauvais, Beauvais, @gmail.com. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Carolyn Beauvais, and her goal is to create a calm and creative problem-solving process for each family that she serves. That's easy for you to do, Carolyn, not for me. So Getting back to Bishop Fulton J. Sean, who had that angel that would wipe the chalkboard, you know?
Yes.
But one of the things when we were kids, we heard this saying over and over, the family that prays together stays together. Talk to us about prayer in these times.
Every faith tradition has a tradition of congregational prayer. And so our family right now is the congregation. And so having a time that is structured that both adults and children can look forward to is very important. The obvious time is expressing gratitude for the meal that is on the table and the hands that have prepared it is a structured time for prayer. Every faith has other ways of introducing structure. So each family has to follow their faith tradition. But I would say that once a day, either at the very beginning or at the end, or hopefully both, that every family says, this is a day that God has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. That concept that the faithful are under the care and protection of a loving Father, of a loving God, however you call that God by name, is, I think, the most important concept that each one of us carries relative to managing the internal weather that we have. We have the capacity to experience joy because we are faith-based people.
The circle of life. Talk to millennials who for their whole life, their parents and their grandparents looked after them, took care of them. And now with this crisis, the millennials must take care of their parents and grandparents, please.
In many, many cultures, Jack, this is not a new concept where the elder wisdom is elevated by the younger set of people taking care and special notice of their elders. So I don't think this is actually new when you think about it from an anthropological perspective. Both the adults and the children have their own culture. That's why we say that every generation is a new generation. It doesn't do what the generation before it did. Every generation is in the process of creating a new normal for them. I think that taking care of those who have gone before is a historical concept, not just an anthropological concept, because all of us stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before. Evolution has always been happening. We have washing machines and dishwashers and hot water heaters. Our grandparents in the Great Depression did not have those things for the most part. They were still washing dishes by hands. They were washing machine and they were washing clothes by hand. So all these evolutions that have freed us up because the young generation has made it possible for the workload to ease, that is taking care of the elders. But the emotional care of elders and everybody in that circle of life is the most important point that we could make. It isn't just lightening the load of the elders, which I hope people will do, of course, but it is creating a sense of you are important. I have joy when I speak with you. I would like to make you laugh. You are good at making me laugh. Let's be kind. Let's listen to each other.
Following up on helping each other, what do you say to the heroes right now, the caregivers, the nurses, the doctors, the responders, please?
To our heroes right now, the first responders, the police, the fire, the janitors who are cleaning our hospitals, the food people who are bringing us food, the grocery workers, all of these people need to be in our prayers. Whatever we can do, whether it's volunteering in person now, you have to follow pretty strict guidelines. But helping in whatever way we can, whether it's donating, whether it's praying, whether it's if you know somebody in your neighborhood, leaving them a little piece of paper with a smile and a thank you on it, or a little homemade gift of some sort, is a wonderful way to say, you are not invisible, you are making the world stay sane, and I thank you for that. I do want to say, Jack, before we end, that there are three phone numbers that I want your listeners to have if they are feeling despondent and they are not being able to change the weather in the brain. And in Michigan, regardless of your insurance status, there is the Michigan Mental Health Helpline. It's not a hotline, so it's to help before things get too bad. So that number is 888-733-7753. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. every day. It's always staffed. And then if you need a hotline because you've gone down the rabbit hole and you feel terrible, there is a disaster distress helpline, which is an 800 number, 800-985-5990. And for thinking that life is not worth living, there is the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's important that you or somebody, if you're too tired to make the phone call, have somebody do it for you. That is also an 800 number. It's 800-273-8255.
Carolyn?
You know, hope comes from faith. And the faith comes from our each family's way of understanding that they are not in this alone, that there is spiritual guidance to be had as well as from one another. And when we talk about the circle of life, this is what binds us together generation after generation.
Carolyn, thanks very much. Another category of heroes today, our social workers like you helping our families. Please keep up the fantastic work.
Thank you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Frasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.